Hello and welcome to this month's edition of Sports Nutrition Update. SNU provides each of our listeners with current information on a wide variety of topics related to health, athletic performance, fitness, and nutrition. On track one, Corey will provide his commentary adapted from the Certified Sports Nutrition Advisor Education Program, current research data, and his clinical experience. On track two, he will be joined by Tracy Hawley on He Said, She Said, for her female focus on topics related to whole food, health, relationships, and raising healthy children. Track 3 features an interview with our special guest, who will share their expertise and experience in the healthcare, fitness, and sports nutrition field. Here is Corey Hawley and this month's presentation of Sports Nutrition Update.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Sports Nutrition Update, Volume 9, Number 7. In the last edition of SNU, I talked about thyroid health. Huge numbers of women and a much smaller but growing percentage of men are diagnosed with hypothyroidism every day. The major point I wanted to make with my presentation on thyroid health is that this condition has everything to do with environment and or lifestyle, including, of course, exercise and nutrition. Countless numbers of women take thyroid medications as advised by physicians, and most of them are led to believe that they must take these medications for the rest of their life. And with some limited exception, and of course all rules have exceptions, this is simply not true. If you work at it, clean yourself out, make some adjustments, get fit, change the diet, change the attitude, you can absolutely get off probably almost all medication that people think they must take for the rest of their life, and thyroid medication is not the only one. But instead of making the changes and working, and this is a work ethic issue, you have to work to get well all the time, every day, for the rest of your life. It never stops. But instead of doing that, you can just go to the doctor and take a pill. And of course, there's a whole huge downside to that. But unfortunately, that seems to be the most popular route. The thyroid gland is extremely important for energy and for body composition management. Thousands of men and women are frustrated by an apparent inability to lose body fat even when dieting and training. What they often think or blame on genetics is actually associated with thyroid disturbance caused by a long history of consuming the wrong foods and living in a state of poor physical condition. And again, I can take anybody, I don't care who they are, what age they are, what history they have, where they're at health-wise. If they're not fit, I make them fitter, everything improves. If they're not eating well and we get them on a proper diet and they actually do eat the food and stay with it, everything improves. So it's just amazing how underestimated the power of exercise and good nutrition are. But they are magnificent, they are reliable, and it is absolutely the finest, most reliable process in town. Now, on this edition of Clinical Review, I want to tackle a problem that is of great significance and of major philosophical importance. I want to call this segment Letting Go, or to paraphrase my message, quit trying to save the world. Okay, now this problem is very common. I've had a lot of calls and in discussions with clients and students and members, traveling all over the world and meeting people of every age and every walk of life, and of course, mostly adults who are old enough to understand the roots of this problem. It's very, very common. So it's been an issue for some people that really gets down to the bone. It's a puzzle they cannot solve. They can't seem to come to terms with the emotions that they experience, which are always quite negative. So there is a resolution, and then there is a solution to all problems. But first of all, we have to sort of come to terms with what's causing it. And this has to do with human relationships. And the phenomenon I'm speaking to, in some ways, is very similar to Bible thumping. You know, you've had somebody approach you and thump you over the head with a Bible or any book that they believe in that they're trying to literally force you to accept and believe and digest and use. Now, these people are excited about what they've discovered. So we can't blame them for that. And it's great to see enthusiasm. It's just that it's not bridled. The enthusiasm is not being directed correctly. It's almost like too much in the wrong direction. So these people want to tell the whole world about what they've discovered, and I'm sure that we've experienced that and gone through that experience ourselves some way, somehow, on the street. Someone's knocked at the door. But this problem I'm referring to, which is the unsolicited advice on health and nutrition we give to friends and family, is very similar to telephone marketers calling at dinner time or salespeople who work up and down the street door to door. No one likes to have their space invaded, and who really likes unwanted solicitation? So I'm talking about, on this edition, about those of us who nag people to death about changing their lifestyle, or you listen to someone complain about their health, and then you slam the door right in their face and say, well, you're getting what you deserve, and you should be doing this, and you should be doing that. And that is something that's going to destroy your relationship with your loved one, with your spouse, with your brother or sister, or your next door neighbor. Personally, I'm into having relationships, and I'd rather have a relationship with somebody who's not well, but who is nice to me and treats me with respect, than somebody who isn't nice to me and doesn't treat me with respect and who might be well. You see, it's not really my concern. I am concerned about people, and I do love people, and I really dream about a world of peace where people don't hurt each other and there's no violence. That's the kind of world that I would like to live in. And every day of my life, I walk out the door, and there's no malice inside of me. I'm not looking for a fight. I don't like violence. I like to smile. I like to greet people. I like to walk down a street and say hello to people. It's all about having a good time. And it's not about controlling people. It's not about telling them how to run their lives. And I think this is what happens to some of us. We get caught up in the truth of health and fitness. It really does wonders for ourselves. We know there's a science to it. We know that we can stand on that. And then when it comes to seeing what's going on around us and seeing the pain and the suffering and the misery in other people's lives, people that we care about, it's really, really hard not to invade their space and to force our values on them. But I'm telling you that you have to learn how to do that. And because if you don't, you'll destroy the relationship and you won't end up having one, because they don't want to hear it. Just let them be. Now, if I want something, I'll ask for it. And I certainly don't want to be bugged or coerced or pressured into anything anytime. Like if I walk into a store selling whatever, and the salesman comes over and starts bugging me or pressuring me, that doesn't make me feel comfortable. What do I want to do? I want to get away. So if you've got someone in your family and you're coming over for dinner, you're going to start preaching at them, or you wake up every day and start preaching at your husband or spouse, they want to get away from you. They don't want to hear it. So what you're doing is you're losing relationship. And this might even be a relationship that you're losing towards the end of someone's life. Like, let's say that it's an older man or woman. Maybe it's your parents or grandparents, and there's not a lot of time left. And so what they think in their mind is that, oh, no, Corey's coming over, and that's all he's going to do is tell me how to live my life. And that's not what I want to hear. So I don't even want to see Corey anymore. And that's what happens. It drives people away. It pushes them away. And that's the wrong approach, because in order to make a positive influence in the lives of people, you have to be in their lives. So learn to shut up. Keep your truth to yourself. Live your life. Live it with passion. Train like the Dickens. Eat health food. Do everything right for yourself. But let people be, and it'll be truly amazing as an experience in your life to see what happens when you take this approach. Now, essentially, this behavior of trying to force our health and fitness ideals on our friends and family is a much bigger problem than what meets the eye, appears on the horizon, or what glides along the surface. It's really a matter of fear and control. Specifically, fear of death, as in others and our own, and the need for control. Of course, no one wants to lose someone they love and care for. But the truth is, we never had that person in the first place. We don't own people like property, and we certainly don't have control over anyone's absolute destiny. Yes, we can influence some people, but the process of life and death and all of the variables involved, even with just one life, are much, much bigger than what we can possibly imagine. Each one of us is an individual. The truth is, we are all cut off consciously from the entire world, and every single human being has their own private thought life. No one can read our minds, and we can't read anyone else's. So we're cut off. I once heard an English philosopher refer to the state as cosmic loneliness, and it explains in part some of the depression and some of the loneliness that people feel inside of themselves. They're just all alone inside of themselves, and they forever will be. And yes, we can try and connect with people, but we can't do it to the same degree that would be possible as if we could read their thoughts and go inside their heads and vice versa. Imagine the relationship quality and some of the stuff that you would discover. It would be shocking, to say the least, to actually find out what people are truly thinking, because people hide most of their thoughts from the world. Now, humans, to a large degree by nature, want to control everyone and or everything, some more or less. So we think, I only want to help this person, and they're my friend, and I love them, and I can't imagine losing them, and I don't want them to suffer needlessly. And it's so obvious to me that all they have to do is this, this, and this, or here's some vitamins, or here's a technique or a strategy. This will help you. I know it will help you. Why don't you do it? Why don't you listen? Now, that's not a bad thing, to want to help people. But you have to understand a few things about individuals and their right to refuse the help. So we need to go about assisting others in a special way. And the special way is to create stability within yourself, become an anchor, become a wise person, become a person of understanding, become a person that is quiet and humble, but full, just absolutely full of the right information to help people when they want it. Now, the key word here is want. When you want somebody to stay alive, when you want anything from anybody, when you want, wanting can increase your suffering. Now, this reminds me of the Four Noble Truths of Buddhism. And essentially, the first noble truth is life is suffering. The second noble truth is the origin of suffering is attachment or wanting. The third noble truth is that suffering can come to an end, and it's possible. It's called the cessation of suffering is attainable. And number four, the path to the cessation of suffering can be explained and understood and applied. Now, I want to explain in a little more detail. Number one, life means suffering. To live means to suffer, because human nature is not perfect, and neither is the world we live in. During our lifetime, we inevitably have to endure physical suffering such as pain, sickness, injury, tiredness, old age, and eventually death. And we have to endure psychological suffering like sadness, fear, frustration, disappointment, and depression. Although there are different degrees of suffering, and there are also positive experiences in life that we perceive as the opposite of suffering, such as ease and comfort and happiness, life in its totality is imperfect and incomplete because our world is subject to impermanence. This means we are never able to keep permanently what we strive for, and just as happy moments pass by, we ourselves and our loved ones will pass away one day too. So this is something we have to accept and embrace and get over. And unfortunately, many, many adults never get to the point where they can accept this truth, this inevitable, absolute truth, and they never get over it. So they freak out when someone dies. They just completely lose it because they haven't come to terms with their own death and the brevity of life and the fact that everything around us is going to disappear, including us. Now, the second noble truth, the origin of suffering is attachment, also needs to be explained. The origin of suffering is attachment to transient things and the ignorance thereof. Transient things do not only include the physical objects that surround us, but also ideas and, in a greater sense, all objects of our perception. Ignorance is the lack of understanding of how our mind is attached to impermanent things. The reasons for suffering are desire, passion, pursuit of wealth and prestige, striving for fame and popularity, or in short, craving and clinging and wanting. There's that wanting word. I want my father to listen to me. I want him to take my advice. Why won't he listen? This is what I want. You see how your wanting is going to increase suffering? And it's also going to drive him away and put the walls up instead of having a pleasant, nice time while you're alive together to enjoy the moments that are precious. Because the objects of our attachment are transient, their loss is inevitable, thus suffering will necessarily follow. We sometimes assume everyone wants to be well or wants what is obvious to us. And this is a good thing in our hearts. You know, of course we want people to be well. And of course we assume that everybody wants to be well. I mean, why wouldn't you want to be well? Do you want to be in a painful state? But the facts are against this thought process. The facts are that some people do want to be miserable. They do want the state that they're in because they're the ones that have created it. You see, we can't assume that everyone's just an innocent victim, that all the disease and all the obesity and all the cardiac events and all of the sickness and infection is just caused without any impetus associated with our involvement. In fact, almost all disease and illness is caused by our own neglect and our own abuse. And we have to assume that this is what people are choosing to do, so we have to let it go. Now, it's a gift to let go and simply let our friends, spouses, adult children, parents, and siblings live their life out according to how they choose to. And here's a nice little quote I just found. Never try to reason the prejudice out of a man or a woman. It was not reasoned into him or her, and therefore cannot be reasoned out. Wow, that's powerful. Now, I received an email recently from a student, and it goes like this. Dr. C, you said we cannot change others, however much we wish. We can only change ourselves, and hopefully this will make them want to change. I wish I could stop my parents from doing all these terrible things they do to their health, but they keep on going on their way and slowly fall apart. Without change, I'm certain they will die soon. Now here's my response. The torture and pain you feel watching friends and family destroy themselves with intention or by neglect can be relieved 100% by simply accepting the fact that except for infants and small children under our direct management, we are simply not responsible for anyone else's health or life. Everyone lives and dies on their own, by themselves, in the world they create and live in. What we wish for others is often not compatible for them. But of course, we are human, and humans by nature want to control everyone and everything. Did someone appoint us to be the saviors of the world? Of course not. The world can't be saved. And by the way, the world is indifferent to our existence. The world doesn't even know we exist. It is we ourselves that are concerned primarily with ourselves. And the reason that we want to change the world is to make our world that we're living a better place for us. That's our nature. Now, even if we were delusional enough to believe that it was possible to save the world, which it isn't, and as many are, we would still fail because a strong man cannot make a weak man strong. This is a guiding principle in life. We can barely take care of ourselves, which is a full-time job when done correctly, and by the way, the most important job in the world. Can you think of something more important than doing what it takes to stay well lifelong? Remember, true health is abundant and gives us the impetus to search for truth and accept what is. I mean, that's just a beautiful aphorism. It is what it is. Just learn to accept things, roll with the punches, and stop trying to change the world. Focus on yourself and your own life. Now, we can certainly teach those who want to learn, but we can't make them do the work. I mean, the action required and what must be done by them consistently. We can't do it for them. Once that's clear, then it's easy to let go. Why waste time fighting a battle you can't win? Why even go to battle? Peace is where it's at. I mean, make love, not war. Who are we to infringe ourselves on other people? Is that what we want from others? How would you like it if people started criticizing you for what you eat and how you live? Oh, you're too fit, or that's all you ever do is go to the gym, and is that all you ever eat is health food? How does that make you feel? Do you like that? How would you like it if everywhere you went, people tried to change you and influence you to eat junk? You wouldn't like that. Well, it works the other way around, and just never forget that we're in the minority. For every one person that's really into health and fitness, there are 10,000 people that are eating junk, watching TV, eating potato chips, and have absolutely no desire to get well or to go to the gym. Just absolutely not interested, and it's proven out by their action, because what people do is who they are. Now, why kick against the pricks or slam our hands in the door every day? Why stand up against a massive wave in the ocean and risk certain death? We must dive under it to save ourselves or ride it. Timing is everything, and out in the water, we know who the real master is. When you're out in the water, it's the ocean that takes over. You have to serve it. So resistance is futile, my friends. It only creates more pain, damage, and frustration. I just accept people for who they are and respect their freedom. And yes, I'm talking about the freedom they have to damage themselves. That's the freedom they have, because it's a choice. Let the student come to you. We're the masters. You're the master. The student is hiding in almost everyone around you, but let them come to you first. Now, I don't love people because of what they do or don't do. In other words, I don't love my brother because he eats a certain way or doesn't. I love him because he's my brother and because of who he is. I spend time with those who treat me with respect, and if they don't, I simply move on and don't want to spend any time with them. I move away from them. Now, individuals are entitled to live their life as they choose, and life and the way we decide to live is a choice. We can choose life or death moment by moment, day by day. Most people choose a slow, miserable death by means of commission or omission or both for a million different reasons. But let them figure it out, because it's their lives. And if they want help, let them ask you. Don't give unsolicited advice to people who don't want to hear your advice. Now, what is it in you that's making you want to change them? Is it fear? Is it a sense of that you need to control them? Are you a control freak? Why don't you try letting go and then see what happens as a result? I just think that what can happen is absolutely amazing. How can we protect an adult from themselves? How can we make a person understand what we know? After a certain age, we'll call it the age of accountability, people can only learn what they choose to learn. The desire must belong to them. They can take advice only from whom they ask, and the asking must come from a genuine and humble heart. You can't make them get it, so why try? That's a losing proposition. My personal strategy is to let go, and I mean a big let go. I mean really let go. No nagging, no passive-aggressive statements. I don't even think the thought secretly, and that's where the true, genuine freedom lies for me. You see, my freedom, my truth, my reality, it's got to be clean, it's got to be pure, and it's got to be honest, and that's what creates health and wellness, the thoughts that I'm thinking. I just accept what is, focus on my own life, laugh and love, and completely accept that everyone's health and lifestyle is actually none of my business. Except, of course, when it directly affects me, as in gets in my way of achieving and maintaining my own health. And then I'll let people know. I'm not giving them advice on how to live. I'm just saying, hey, you're in my face, buddy, or you're preventing me from achieving my own level of health and wellness, and that's not cool. Now, I'm no one's keeper, but like you, I would leap tall buildings to help a needy soul, even risk my life if necessary. But you can't help anyone who rejects assistance or who has zero interest. Let them go. So I continue to love those who I love in spite of what I see. I don't say a word. I know in my heart that life is difficult and tough to accept, and that everyone alive has more or less the same challenge and difficulty accepting this great truth. When I see abuse, I think, why? Why the abuse? And how? How can I take a different strategy myself not to abuse myself? I think, what is the purpose of that? I see the effect, but what is the cause? I analyze, I rationalize, I observe what is, process everything as objectively as I can, take mental notes, then I take the appropriate action required to achieve a certain or specific outcome, which I determine and rationalize within myself. Now, I can tell you, I don't want to save the world, because the world can't be saved. And I just am focusing on myself here, in a position of strength, in a position of wisdom and understanding and knowledge, in a position of fantastic health and wellness, I can offer more to the world. That makes a lot of sense to me. If I'm a liability, then I'm going to lose all of my freedom and independence. I just want to be well. And you know what? When I was young and demanded that from life, I had no idea the size of the tire that I was going to stuff in my mouth and start to having to chew. Solid rubber. I mean, can you imagine that? I wanted to be well. I had no idea what that was going to take. And I'm talking about on every level, emotional, mental wellness. How important is that? So we live for that end. That is our objective. I want to live and love as long as possible. How about you? And if I outlive those who I love because of the choices I make and the choices they make, which, by the way, I already have. I've already so-called lost, quote-unquote lost people. They've died prematurely. They've died of so-called old age and damage. They're gone. I've lost many friends already, and I'm going to lose more. But I never lost them. I never had them. They were people I loved, and they all came to an end, and I'm going to come to an end. So we have to see this. We have to understand this. This is the great divide. This is the great truism of life. It's really an important issue. Now, the fact is can you live with this? Can you live with this truth? Can you be happy? Can you move forward? Can you make progress? Can you focus on health and life? And in spite of this absolute, inevitable truism, can we accept with serenity that which we have no control over? And the actual answer is yes, we can. We have what it takes. We have the potential to endure, to fight the good fight, and to continue on with our labor of love. And that is the self-love we have that motivates us to do what's right for ourselves. And then love for others, love for your neighbor, is to let go, is to not to nag them. Don't shove your stuff down anyone else's throat. And be careful not to allow people to shove their stuff down your throat. That's just as important. So again, live and let live. Focus on the quality of the relationships that you have right now in this world with the people that you love, and do whatever you can to hold on to them and maintain them, because they're going to be gone very soon, and much, much sooner than you think, in the blink of an eye. Well, that's it for this segment of SNU. Thanks for listening. And here's a quote from theologian Reinhold Niebuhr. Grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and wisdom to know the difference.